We continue in our study of the book of Genesis. This morning we are in the fourth chapter, and I will read the first seven verses of that chapter. This is God's word. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, for his part, brought of the firstlings of his flock, their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Well, we have recorded for us the birth of Cain and Abel, the first siblings, and we also have the first time in the scripture explicitly humans worshiping God, bringing a sacrifice to God as a part of worship. We know that what we've just read, that one of them was a shepherd. Abel was a shepherd, and Cain was a farmer. So what we also learn is that one of the offerings, or the way one brother was worshiping, was acceptable to God, and the worship of the other brother was not acceptable to God. This phrase is, God had regard for one, but did not have regard for another. Well, what do we need to do, or what does it look like to worship God in an acceptable way? This morning, we're going to look at briefly five short passages from Scripture and five quick points. There won't be a whole lot of time to illustrate this, but just the basic points of what acceptable worship looks like. One thing we can learn from this passage of Scripture, from Cain and Abel, that acceptable worship for God means that we have to bring our best to God in worship. As I read the passage, the reason, the distinction was clearly that Cain brought some of his stuff that he had grown. But Abel didn't just bring some from the flock, he brought the firstlings, is that what it's called? The firstlings of the flock and the best portions of them, the fatted portions. So Abel brought the best that he had to God. Cain brought some of what he had to God. Well, we need to bring our best to God in worship. In fact, culture has changed a little bit. Some may remember that involved clothes as well at one time. That, you know, you had your clothes that you wore during the rest of the week, and then you had what I've seen on TV. I'm too young to experience this myself. Your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And that's when you wore them. And you only wore them on Sunday or to a very significant event like a wedding or a funeral or something like that. And they were your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. I think some people actually had to stay in them all day. And so that was another matter altogether about Sabbath keeping. But it was a way of saying that when we come to worship, we're going to dress in our best. We're going to bring our best to God in worship. You can apply that in your life, dress-wise, any way you see fit. But we also need to bring our best to God in worship in our best selves. Now, many people think worship is a performance. And in a way, worship is a performance. Many people think that their role in worship is to watch the performance. And so we judge our worship on how good the particular performance was that week. The bells nailed, you know, their music. The choir nailed their music. Everything sounded great. The minister, at least we got through it with him. He was short that day. He was brief that day. So all was well. And so the performance went well. Well, worship is a performance, but the audience is not you. The audience is not me. The audience is not us collectively. It's an audience of one or three, if we recognize the Trinitarian form of God. God is the audience. We are the ones performing. And our performance can be acceptable or not acceptable. We can do a good job if we bring our best, or we can just bring some of ourselves. We can pay attention some of the times. We can zone in, zone out. We can just give God what we got. Acceptable worship is worship that brings our best to God. Another thing of acceptable worship I think we can find in the psalm that I read, the Psalm of David, the 51st psalm. If you know the context of that psalm, you know that it is written by David, and it's written out of a particular circumstance that isn't very good. Nathan, the prophet, had gone to the king David and convicted him by telling him a parable. I won't go into that now, but convicted his heart of heinous things that David had done. If we know the story of David, we know that he committed adultery with a woman by the name of Bathsheba, and if that wasn't bad enough, he arranged to have Bathsheba's husband, whose name was Uriah, killed in battle. He arranged it with the general of his troops. So here we have somebody who is an adulterer and a murderer. And that's the context of this psalm. David says, regarding worshiping God, he says, "If I were to give a burnt offering, you wouldn't be pleased." How could David go ahead out of that context and just think that he could go and present an offering to God and everything would be okay? No. For David, in order for David's worship to be acceptable, it had to come from his heart. It had to be heart worship. "For you have no delight in sacrifice." Verse 16. "If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." What it means is, for our worship to be acceptable, is that we have to have our hearts right with God. That doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. David certainly wasn't perfect, but David brought his heart to God, and a broken heart and contrite heart. This whole psalm is in a way a psalm of confession for David, and David wanting God to create a clean heart in him and to put a new and right spirit within him and not be cast away from his presence and not have God take his Holy Spirit from him. David was serious about the condition of his heart before God. Along with that, we can read something that the prophet Amos has written for us in the 5th chapter. And Amos says this. Amos says in chapter 5, verse 21, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. God doesn't want what they're giving. Take it away. Don't bring offerings. Don't sing praises to me. But rather, verse 24, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Worship that is acceptable to God has to come from a heart and has to come from us with consistency of the way we live our lives. We can't pretend to bring God acceptable worship, but in the world, treating others unjustly and unrighteously. We can't come to worship on Sunday, even in our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, if from Monday to Saturday we have been living lives that are inconsistent with what we attempt in our worship. Acceptable worship to God, and I think we can say that we can see this with Cain and Abel as well, has to come from a consistency of heart and a consistency of action also. A couple more quick ones. The prophet Hosea was one who also talks about having right worship with God. He says this in chapter 4 of Hosea, verse 1, and it's something, he says this, "There is no faithfulness or loyalty and no knowledge of God in the land." That's actually directed at the priests, the spiritual leaders, saying that the people haven't been faithful because there isn't knowledge of God in the land. The clergy haven't conveyed the proper knowledge of God. And then in the sixth chapter, Hosea says this, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. What this tells me is that for worship to be acceptable, it has to come from a knowledge of God. It has to come from a right heart and a relationship with God. Coming, if the only part of our worship or the only part of the week that we think about God is when we're here in the sanctuary, when we're watching or participating in the service going on, is if that's the only time we have any kind of relationship with God, guaranteed that worship is not going to be acceptable. God doesn't want us just to go through the motions. God doesn't need us that way. God doesn't need anything we really have to offer. What God wants is us to offer ourselves. And that's the last point. Worship that is acceptable to God is worship that comes from the whole of us, from all of us. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, the first two verses, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God." Not just our bodies, but our spiritual worship that comes about from a renewal of our minds. It's the whole person. It's all of us. It's one thing to give from our riches to present money to God, but if we're not presenting ourselves, which is really what the money, the offering is a token of us offering ourselves. We can't put our whole selves on the offering plate, but we put something of what God has given us, we give back, but that's only a token. That's only meant to be symbolic of the giving of our whole selves. We can call it, this is just a way to remember it. It's kind of late to be introducing something like this in a sermon. We can call it hokey pokey worship. You know what the hokey pokey is? You know, you put your right hand in, take it out, put your left hand in, you shake it all about. Well, what do you do at the end of hokey pokey? You put your whole self in and you leave it in. So I guess it's just hokey worship, not hokey pokey. You don't take it out. The whole self. Just the summary, folks. Worship that is acceptable to God is acceptable when it comes, this is biblical, right from the word. Those words were used. This is what I'm interested in. It's worship that comes when we bring our best to God, our best selves, our most attentive minds, our open heart to hear what God has to say to us, consistent with the way we live our lives and our whole self in relationship with God. If you got those things going for you, there is no way your worship would not be acceptable. But let me just ask this one question in closing. Does God have regard for the way you worship God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.